Now, the Gemara itself is here on Daf Lamed, and there are two different parts of the sugya which we need. We don't have to go through the whole sugya. On Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it's approximately, I'd say, 12 lines down from the top. Omer Rav, Kideros bePesach Yishavru. Now we're going to see that this principle is based on Rav Shita called Min Bemino Eino Bata, and that applies to all Isurim. But now Rav is going to introduce a Chumra in Chametz that even Min B'Sheino Mino is not Batel. Meaning, on a Daraisa level, Rav agrees that Min B'Sheino Mino is Batel, but the Chachamim made a Gzera with regard to Chametz, because the Chumra Sa Isur, that Min B'Sheino Mino is not Batel. And the reason, the official reason for that Gzera, is because we're afraid if we allow you to apply Bittel and Min B'Sheino Mino, you might accidentally apply Bittel to Min B'Mino. And Rav holds that Min B'Mino is low bottle. It's never low bottle. That's Rav in Masechta Avodah
Zarah. And you wouldn't make the Gzera by other Asurah.
Correct, because here it's a special Chumra, because it's also Bekares, and therefore we don't want to mess around that he might come to be Matir Min B'Mino in Chames, which would be a violation of a very severe Isur. So that's point number one. Therefore, it comes out the following, that Kideros B'Pesach Yishavru means that even if he would be able to be magil the kli, let's say, for example, we're going to still have a problem even after the Hagolah, because we're going to still be stuck with some sort of a tarovus. So we'll try to fill in the details as we go along, but the basic line is that the Gemara is afraid that he might use the kli, and therefore Rav says that he has to get rid of the kli. Now if you take for a moment turn to Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara there introduces another principle which we have to know about, and the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that, where is it? Just give me a second to find it here. This is the Gemara about Kli Cheres. Just one second, where is it? Oh, there it is. The Gemara says that if you have a Kli Cheres, and the Gemara has a whole suffix about Kunya, which is not for us right now, that means it was plated inside, so there's metal on the inside of the Kli, and Cheres and earthenware on the other side of the Kli. So the Gemara wants to know, is there Blia? Okay, so that's not relevant to us so much, but the Gemara says about Kli Cheres, HaTorah he'idal Kli Cheres she'eino yotzi midei dofyo li'olam. So in the case of a Kli Cheres, the Gemara says that there's no possibility of being machshir the Kli. In other words, normally we say through Agola, Kibola Kapolto, whatever was Mivla in the Kli, it goes out of the Kli through Agola, but that doesn't apply to Kli Cheres. Now, if we go back to Rav on Amud Aleph, that Gemara on Amud Beis could probably shed a light on Rav on Amud Aleph. Meaning that even if Rav holds that Min B'Sheino Mino is Asur, but nevertheless he can get rid of the Tam of Chametz through Hag'ola. So why does Rav say Kederes B'Pesach Yishavru? And the answer is that Rav is talking about Kli Cheres. And Kli Cheres is any Yotze Midei Dofyo Li'olam. So what we want to study today is the Shitas HaRambam. So you take a look here on page Ayin Hey, Kosav HaRambam, Perek Hey Mehilchus Chomitzu Matzah Alocha Chav Gimel, Klei Matechos Ukli Avonim. Now notice, the Rambam doesn't mention a word here about Kli Cheres. Shenishtapshu ben chometz ve'roschim ve'kli rishon kagon kideros v'alfasin ilfasin is nosein osan l'tol kli gadol shel mayim u'memale aleim mayim u'marsichan v'socho ad sheyiflutu. So far the Rambam is simply formulating the halacha of Hagol. So you have a larger kli, you fill it up with water, you boil the water, and then you put the smaller kli into the larger kli. And after a while, he says the blia inside the smaller kli is going to go out into the larger kli. And then he says, v'achkach shotef osan bitzonin, you take the smaller kli, which is now subject to Hagola, and you rinse it off with cold water, u'mishtamish bahen b'matzah. V'chein ha-sakinim, marsiach ha-salahav ha-netzev. Netzev is another word for the blade. The kli rishon.
Lahav means?
Lahav is the blade. There are two different words that he uses depending upon the two different types of knives. The kli rishon. V'achakach mishtamish bahen b'matzah. So notice in both cases, the Rambam speaks about mishtamish bahen b'matzah. Okay, now let's leave the Rambam on the side for a moment, and we're going to study the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah wants to know the following. Amongst the kelim that the Rambam discusses, these kelim, the Rambam describes them as kelim which are used beroschim bekli rishon. And the Rambam says nothing about kelim that are used without roschim, meaning without a medium of water. They're used directly in chametz. As you put the kli into the chametz, and the chametz is now boiling hot. Those are called shipudim v'askalos. Now again, these are various forms of what we call in English a spit, right? And it means you pierce it through the chametz, and there's no medium of liquid. Lo nisbar dinam v'gemara, le'inyan chametz u'matzah. He says, as far as these kelim are concerned, we don't know what their status is on Pesach. What do we mean? In Shari Surei Torah, let's say, for example, you would use a shpud for nevela. So I roast nevela and I put a spit inside. So that shpud needs what's called limun. The Rambam doesn't mention what's the deal with these kelim if they came directly in contact with chametz. I'm talking about boiling hot chametz. So first he says, let's take a look at what other Rishonim do say, because they address this question, and then we're going to try to extrapolate what would the Rambam say.
Hagalah means dipping it in boiling hot water. Libum means getting the thing itself extremely hot, more than hot water. Right?
Correct. Like burning it, you know, with fire.
Glowing or whatever.
So nechleku ha-mefarshim. He says yesha omrim. There's one opinion that says dinam kedin shar isurim. Just like in the vela, you would need libun, and hagol would not suffice. So too on Pesach, you would need libun. The yesh misha omer that dafka in Pesach we're going to be mekil, which is a little bit rare. You know, we don't find too many kulis in Pesach. Shemashe b'lo'o. In other words, when he used this shipud for chametz, hoya heter. At that point, there was no isur chametz. Is therefore die behagola. We can lower the standards of hechsher. Instead of requiring limun, we would suffice with hagola. And now the Magid Mishnah says, what's the Rambam shita? The efshar shezeu das rabbeinu shehizkir kan sakinim hagola. What happens with a knife? You cut hot chametz, you know, you have a bagel that just came out of the oven, you know, and it's boiling hot. You cut it with a knife. The Rambam says, in his examples of Hagolah, he includes sakinim. So the Magid Mishnah wants to extrapolate that sakinim are identical with shipud. And kol ha-Torah kulos, let's say you took a knife and you sliced hot nevela, You would need libun, and hagol would not suffice. But in the case of Pesach, since the blia was beheter, and at the moment that he cut the chametz with a knife, that was heter. So the whole blia was beheter. Even though again now it's Pesach. So at this point, that same chametz becomes osur. But we want to go back to, according to this second opinion, to that critical moment, that frame of time of the blia, and at that point it was heter. And maybe the Rambam jumps on board with that shita Therefore, he doesn't mention Shipud the Askalah, because he mentions Sakinim, and that's going to be a paradigm case of what normally another Isurim would require Libud, because there's no medium of Mayim. Here, in the case of Pesach, we can get away with Hagolah. And the Rambam says that for Sakinim, it's Hagolah.
Is there no technical difference whether, and in the Shpud case, it's actually while the fire is on it, the second, presumably, you don't poke it while it's on the fire, you're cutting it later. Because it still maintains, you mean, the boiling thing?
It could be that maybe in the poskim there is such a distinction.
I don't know at all. Honestly.
Right, but in the Magid Mishnah's frame of reference, they're equal. Why? Because as long as it's Yad Sol Letters,
right, and that itself is the Kli Yerushan, so to speak.
Right, and there's no medium of Mayim, right. In that case, you need Libud. But for some reason, there's a whole school of poskim who say you don't need Libud. And he wants to identify the rabbi with that school by saying that Sakin requires Hagolah, nothing more than Hagolah. And the explanation he gives you in two words, Shehetero, Terebol. Now he quotes another Rambam. The Rambam in the Hilchos Macholos Asuros in Perek Yud Zayin says, Lokeach Sakin min Akum Tzricha Libud. Here the Rambam says in Hilchos Chametz Matzah that a sakit only requires Hagolah. But in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, when you purchase a kli from a guy and it's a sakit, the Rambam says it requires Limud. How do we reconcile this inconsistency? And the answer is, because as far as Pesach is concerned, we have a principle called Hetera Bola. And magically, this Hetera Bola alleviates the requirement of Libun, and instead we what's sufficient is Hagolah. So the bottom line is, for to summarize this paragraph of the Magid Mishnah, is that the Rambam holds that with regard to Pesach, you do not require Libun on something that on a vessel that would normally require Libun, and the reason for that is because Heterah Bola. That's the bottom line of this presentation. Now Rav Salvechik at this point wants to quote an additional Rambam and again prove that the Rambam holds that Hetera Bola. But the Rav's proof is a little bit more complicated. But we'll see if we can get through it. It's a short paragraph. This is the Rambam in Perek Tezvav Milchus Macholos Asuros, and the Rambam writes that Chametz B'Pesach is Osur B'Mashehu. Now let's just think about this for a moment and then we'll read the Rav inside. Chametz v'Pesach is also b'mashu. Why is that so? If we assume that chametz is isura bala, meaning the blia was isur, so then one could ostensibly argue that at some point in time it becomes mutter. But that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it was mutter at the time of the blia. So why would you apply the principle of isura bala? So let's see it inside. The Rambam says that the reason why chametz is also with mashu, again, other Rishonim have a different explanation, is because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Oh, now let's think about this. What does that mean, a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Why is it a davar sheyesh lo matirin? L'chora. Mehai taimo, he says, what would make it into a davar sheyesh matirin? Mishum davi heter gomor achar pesach. In other words, you have something that's osur now during Pesach, but after Pesach it becomes heter. V'choshiv hetera bola. What does he mean by choshiv hetera bola? Hetera bola means it was mutter, and then it became Asur, and then it's going to become Mutter again. And since it's going to become Mutter again, and it's going to go back to its original state, therefore it's called a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. We'll hold off on our judgment until we see the other side. Let's see the flip side. Aval ine b'davi isura bola. If at the time, let's say a week before Pesach, it was called isura bola, is l'chora lo avi davar sheyesh lo matirin? Why? Kevan de gam ata isura havi l'inyan Pesach de shana ba. You're telling me that it was Bli of Isur, so I'm going to tell you that even after Pesach it remains Asur. Why? We just have to wait 360 days, or whatever the number is. Because when Pesach comes around the next year, the Isur is back intact.
This term that is called Isur Bula before Pesach, he's just introducing this now. Nobody said this before.
Again, we saw it in the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah says, Dai be Hagola. Why? Because Bli Ahoya
Beheter. Yeah, but that's not called Isur Bula. No.
That's called Hetera Bola.
Yeah, but...
Oh, you were asking that Isur Bola?
That's just a new term that I didn't see before yet in this presentation.
Right.
That it's
well,
called Isur Bola. Why would you call it Isur Bola?
You would call it Isur Bola because the same identical object becomes also. If the same, nothing changes.
That's always true, right? Anytime you're considering something, obviously it was...
No, usually...
Usher sometime, right?
Usually the case of Isur Bola, of Hetera Bola, right? The classic case of Hetera Bola.
Is something that becomes also later, right?
It's something that becomes also later. Here it becomes also later because, right? Normally it becomes also later because something changes. Here nothing changed. So that same identical object that's also in Pesach is the Bli'ah. Let me try to think of an example for you.
I'll try to come back, because
nothing's popping into my head right this second. I just want to see if we can explain this paragraph, because again, I think it's very subtle.
Nosar?
You're up to Nosar already?
I'm thinking of another case of
Nosar might be a good example. Maybe Nosar is a good example. But here in the case of Chomets, why is that called Hetera Bola? I'm just arguing in favor of Isur Bola because Isur Bola means it's the same Chomets that existed yesterday before Pesach exists today. And if it's also today, then basically it was Isur Bola. The other side is to say, no, it's Hetera Bola because at that moment in time when there was a Bli'ah, it was still Mutter. But again, that's very futuristic for us.
At this point,
what our goal is to see, how do we prove from the Rambam that holds, that classifies Chomets as Dovah Sheish L'Matirin, how does that prove that the Rambam holds that Hetera Bola? So let's go with the Isura Bola and see if, by process of elimination. He says the following, if you're going to say Isura Bola, then, well, that Isur is going to come around again. Dorash Eshlatirin means that it changes to Heter. Right? It's not going to become Osir again. I'll give you an example. A classic case of Heter, of Dorash Eshlatirin would be, again, this is itself as a machlokas, but would be Chadash, right? Because Chadash, after the 16th of Nisan, becomes Yashan. Once it becomes Yashan, you could wait until doomsday, it'll never become Osir again. That's a Dovah Sheish L'Matirin. In case of Chomets, to classify Chomets as a Dovah Sheish L'Matirin is a bit complicated. Why? Because it's not fair to say that there's going to be a Heter. There may be a temporary Heter, but it's not a real Heter. Haraya, next year it's going to be Osir again. The same identical object becomes Osir. So why is that called a Dovah Sheish L'Matirin? So the answer might be because the Rambam holds Hetera Bola. Now let's try to understand how Hetera Bola makes it into a Dovah Sheish L'Matirin. He says the following. Hainu Taima, this is the last line on the right. Mishum Davi Heter Gomur Achara Pesach V'choshev Hetera Bola. In other words, what we're doing is we're setting up two definitions of the same object. But when I say two different definitions, what I mean is there's an identity change. The identity of Chomets is limited to Pesach. And before and after Pesach, that's not Chomets. Correct? That's not Chomets. Now again, Pesach time, it may become Chomets, but that's a new identity. You know, we'll call it Panam Chadoshes Bola. So let's just see if we can understand that Hetera Bola and why it's a Dovah Sheish L'Matirin. What we're saying now is...
What you're saying now is not here. You're saying this...
I'm going to try to work
that,
it into...
That's where you're going towards.
I'm going to try to fit it into the words. I mean, it may sound like I'm pontificating on my own, but...
There's no statute of limitations in thinking? Because I've never heard something like next year. There's no kind of thing that they don't think that far? That's not around.
I'm not aware of it. But again, just to see if I can. I'm still working on this very, you know, this very paragraph, because it gets a little bit easier later on, but this paragraph is very challenging. He's saying the following, that when you have something that's called Isura Bola, it means that this is Osir and it remains Osir. That's called Isura Bola. Meaning, I'm not going to identify the Chometz Erev Pesach as a separate independent category of chametz on Pesach itself. Correct? Heterabola means I don't have the language, let's say I don't have the language tools to call it by a different name. Why? Because I want to indicate that same fermented piece of bread is going to become also. So I call it chametz, but it's really not chametz. That's called heterabola. In other words, we're looking at it not from, we're going to call it by its physical name, describe it, you know, as chametz, but it's not really chametz because legally it's not chametz. We're going to get to karbanos in the next paragraph. We're going to get to karbanos in just a second, but
okay.
Let me see if again I'm going to work hard. It may take me a few minutes to get by this one paragraph. This is kind of like the glitch in the whole essay. If I can get by this paragraph, I think I'll be more on solid ground. Then we'll talk about karbanos in the next paragraph. But just let's focus on chametz. What is chametz? Is chametz a physical entity? If it's a physical entity, then it's isur bala. What do I mean? The bliya was chametz. It remains chametz, and it's always chametz. You may have a temporary heter, but you know when the calendar turns around to the following Pesach, it becomes osur again. So fundamentally, from the perspective of the definition of the essential object, it was chametz, it will be chametz, it remains chametz. You know, you might have a period of time in which you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of that chametz, but chametz remains osur from the beginning till the end. Do you follow the point? You know, in terms of defining the object, it's osur. We can treat it as heter because it's not yet Pesach, but the object itself always retains its identity. That's called Isura Bola. And if you hold it's Isura Bola, then it's not fair to say it's a Dovah Sheish L'Matir, because a Dovah Sheish L'Matir means a permanent heter, like the case that I gave you before of Chodesh, which becomes Yashan. Once it becomes Yashan, that's irreversible. It always remains heter. That's a Dovah Sheish L'Matir. But when you remove the heter, you know, on a temporary basis, but it's really osur and it remains osur, that's not a Dovah Sheish L'Matir. But if the Rambam holds heter bala, that means we have another entity that was the Erev Pesach entity. I don't mean Erev Pesach literally, but I mean before, let's call it before Pesach. The before Pesach entity is not chametz. It becomes chametz on Pesach. And after Pesach passes, it goes back into its original state, and that's called a Dovah Sheish L'Matir. But that's predicated on the definition of Hetera Bola. He says, "Aval I name adavi Isura Bola," which means it was chametz, not just physically, but halachically we call it, defined as chametz. There's no identity change. Then that's not a Dovah Sheish L'Matir. It could be that between now and next Pesach, I'm allowed to eat it. Right, but it still remains chametz. It always was chametz, and always will be chametz. So where's the head there? A Dovah Sheish L'Matir means a permanent Dovah Sheish L'Matir. There's a matir. There is no matir over here. The Issa remains also, and I'll prove it to you, because that very identical piece of chametz, 360 days from now, will become also. So you see quite clearly that there's no matir that's chala. Matir means an irreversible, absolute matir. But if I hold heter bala, that's something different. That chametz is not chametz the whole year round. It's pure heter. That's what means heter bala. Well, if it's heter bala, then it became usur on chametz on Pesach, and it was a new Isur that emerged. That new Isur is going to be removed after Pesach. That's called a matir. You'll tell me 360 days from now it's going to be a mosser again. That's a whole different entity. That has nothing to do with what I have today. What I have today in front of me after Pesach is pure heter. It's a new entity. It changed its personality. And it's yashan, that it's chadash that became yashan. That's what I think he's saying in this paragraph. All right, let's go on and talk about karbonos. So far we've learned two Ramas. One Rama in Hilchos Chametz Matzah and another Rama in Hilchos Macholas Asuras.
My comment about karbonos was not as deep as what he's going to talk about. I was just saying that, because if he's saying that it doesn't have a shem chametz, unless it's aser, I know that the word chametz is used in what kind of challahs to bake for certain karbonos.
Not because it's aser,
it's chametz is used just as a label of the fermentation, not the iser of it.
Correct.
That's what I was saying.
And that's really hetera bola, because you're calling it chametz, but it's not chametz. You know, it may have a certain chemical function of fermentation or whatever that might give you the name chametz, but it's a different entity. And that entity is going to convert itself to become osur, and then it's going to be a matir. And that matir is going to be motzei pesach. And that makes it into dor sheis l'matir. You'll ask me later on, it's going to be osur. No, that's already a different entity. That becomes chametz. The shame chametz emerges with pesach. Whether it's this pesach, next pesach, it makes no difference. Now we get to the Rav in Kodshim. Because until now we've been limited to Chametz of Matzah and Macholas Asuros. Now once we get into the area of Kodshim, we're coming much closer to that topic for today, and that's Kli Cheres. The Rambam says in Perek Ches Milchus Maisa Karbonos Halacha Yudalid, V'lo b'chatas bilvad el kol ha-kelim shemishtam shebem b'kodshim Al yidei chamin bekotchim kotchim bekotchim kalim to unim ariko ushtifa akev achila v'yimrok v'yishtof akli ben kli matochos uben kli cheres chutz min achatos sheshover ba kli cheres. The Torah commands us with regard to a kli chatos, if it was made, it was prepared in a kli cheres. The Torah says that you have to take that kli cheres and you have to break it. That's a mitzvah of shvira, of shviras kli cheres. Now, the Rambam says the following, that when we require, in the case of a kli matechas, we require mariku shtifa, the Rambam says ekev achila. So those two words, ekev achila, seem to imply that the reason why we want to be machshir these kelim is because we're going to use them again, and it'll be a problem of a blias nosar, and we won't be able to eat what we cook in the same pot again.
Marika means hot water?
No. As far as I know, marika is in cold water.
So you just rinse it?
You rinse it out.
No?
Correct.
No blia. No problem with
blia. So we'll see exactly under what circumstances marika and shtifa will be sufficient. Says the Rav, lo yadati mau ekev achila, aval kach amru chachamim shemamtin kol zman achila v'hodar ovid mariku shtifa. Okay, so we'll come back. All these details, hopefully we'll be able to iron out at least those parts that are relevant to us. He says, umasha omar b'kli cheres ton mariku shtifa tos u'biyoda u'vehejet tosefta she'ein ton el shvira. In other words, the Rambam is operating here with something that the Rav can't tolerate, and that is mariku shtifa in kodshim. But the Rambam explicitly says even in kli cheres, only in the case of chatos. The Rambam writes chutz min achatos. What replaces mariku shtifa? Shoveh bahenes akli, which means the special mitzvah that the Torah commanded us with regard to a kli chatos. That it requires shvira, hakliton shvira. The Raven, on the other hand, understood that even in all kodshim, forgetting about chatos, if it was done, it was prepared in a kli cheres, it needs shvira. So in other words, the Raven sees in front of him two roads that diverge. It's either shvira or it's mariku shtifa. And in each case, we have to decide which of the two we're going to choose. So that the Raven would say the following, that where do we find Shvira as a substitute, or I should say to undermine mariku shtifa, we only find it in Kli Cheres. And therefore, as far as Shara Kodshim are concerned, there's no din of, right? What I'm saying is the following, that according to the Raven, the din of Shvira is not a mitzvah in Chatos. Chatos is only a is only an example of a kli cheres, meaning you took a korban chatos, you prepared in a kli cheres, and in kli cheres there's no such thing as mariku shtifa, correct? The Torah requires shvira. But what the Torah is saying about shvira is not a din in kli cheres according to the Ravid, but rather it's a din. I'm sorry, start again. According to the Ravid, the din of shvira is not a din in chatos, but rather it's a din in kli cheres. So therefore, the Ravid holds that in a case of kli cheres, I don't care what kashrut you're cooking in, there's no way that you can apply mariku shtifa. So I told you before that mariku is in cold wood. I made a mistake. I'm sorry, I apologize. Mariku is in hot wood and shtifa is in cold wood.
So mariku is hagola.
Correct. Mariku is hagola. And then there's this requirement which the Rebbe is going to spend a lot of time on called shtifa, bitzonin. But let's go over one more time the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. And then we're going to see on the next page.
According to the Rambam, Hagavah works for all kachim except for but even in Cheres, Hagavah works for Cheres also and all kachim except for Chatas, which Hagavah would work on everything except
that the Cheres. Torah commanded except us. And the Torah commanded us in the case of Kli Chatas, if it was prepared in a Kli Cheres,
then the Hagavah doesn't work.
Then Hagol does
work. Elsewhere, in other words, Hagol does work in Cheres.
Correct. But again, keep in mind that what the Rambam is committed to is that the halacha of Shvira is a separate halacha in Chatos. Again, it only applies to Kli Cheres, I'm saying, but it's a Chatos halacha. Okay. Because the Rambam is saying that in the same Kli Cheres, if it was Shar Kodshim, then all you need is Mariku Shtifa. So you need two conditions, according to the Rambam, to be checked off in order to require Shvira and completely negate, I'm looking for a better word, but completely negate Mariku Shtifa. And what are those two conditions? Number one, it's got to be a Kli Cheres, but that's not enough. It's got to be a Kli Cheres, plus it has to be a Karban Chatos. Mm-hmm. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid holds that the halacha of Shvira is halacha in Chatos.
In Cheres.
I'm sorry, in Cheres. And therefore, with regard to Kli Cheres, we're going to require Shvira, even if it's Shar Kodshin. The Rambam requires, right? So, in other words, according to the Rambam, instead of two conditions for Shvira, one condition is enough. In all of Kodshin, if it was a Kli Cheres, if you check off that box of Kli Cheres, then you require Shvira. But if it's not a Kli, right? And that applies even to Shar Kodshin. Whereas the Rambam is saying, no, this halacha of Shvir is halacha in Chatos. Only if you have a Kli Cheres that was used for Chatos, then you require Shvira. Then you require Shvira. But in all other Kodshim, even in a case of what?
Cheres.
Of Kli Cheres, it would be sufficient to apply Mariku Shtifa. Ulechara tabua shitas a Rambam. Right, our sugi that we just saw on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says that Torah Eid al Kli Cheres Edi Yotzim Edi Daf Yoliola. Well, if that's true, what difference does it make whether you use that Kli Cheres for Chatos or for other Kodshim? The Ravid seems to be 100% right that this halach of Shvira is simply a reflection of Kli Cheres Edi Yotzim Edi Daf Yoliola. So no matter what you're cooking in that Kli Cheres, there should be a requirement of Shvira. Is Kaila the Kli Cheres Eilem Takana, meaning there's no way through any Hagola you can remove the Blia. Umayahani Mariku Shtifa, how's Hagola and Shtifa going to help you in a Kli Cheres in Shar Kodshim? And the din of Nosar is not Aloch in Chata, so Nosar applies to all Kodshim. So he quotes Reb Chaim, and then he's going to disagree with Reb Chaim. He says the following, that Reb Chaim holds that the Rambam's opinion is that mitzvahs mariku shtifa is before it became nosar. See, that qualification we didn't see in the Rambam. That what we're talking about here, according to Reb Chaim, is what's called hetera bola. Why? Because the b'liyah has not yet become nosar. And at that point, the Rambam says you can substitute Mariku Shtifa for Shvira. So let's say, for example, you would take Nosar and you would, you know, Basar Nosar, and you would cook it in a pot. And it's a kli cheres. The Ram would say you have to destroy it because there's no way you can get the bliya out, and therefore shvir would apply. And that's true because of isura bola. Oh, so that requires shvir. But now we talk about a tera bola. And the Ram is going to say the following: Sovar Ram debat gola moil af bekli cheres be tera bola. Which means at the time that you cooked the kodshim in this klicheres, it was heter. But rakbi isura bala ein lehem takola takana. Umad bechatas tzorch shvira mishum hamitzvah dali mitzvah neyatzma dechayv shvira b'makom kodosh. In other words, the halacha of shvira in the case of chatas has nothing to do with blia, with the normal mechanics of Bliya and Hechsher Kalim. According to those universal rules, certainly Hagola would be meaningful because we're talking about Hetera Bola at the time that there was a Bliya, it was Heter. The Rambam is limiting, or limits, shall we say, the requirement of Shvira to Kli Chatas, because that's Xeris HaKosu that the Torah commanded us in the case of Kli Chatas, in a Kli Cheres, a Chatas, it's gonna require Shvira.
So the way you're phrasing it, it's not that according to the Torah there is a bliya that's usher, just that I want you to break it even if there's no bliya. Do you mean to do that, or you don't mean to go that?
Yeah, I would say that's
true. There's no bliya, just you got to break it, like you have to.
No, I wouldn't say there's no bliya. In other words, there is a possibility of removing the bliya, but the Torah says I'm not going to let you remove the bliya. I'm going to command you to destroy the bliya.
Even if I do hagala.
Oh, now you're asking what happens if he went ahead and he was magilid? I don't know.
So it's like a tashbizu,
that I don't know.
I see what you're doing.
That I don't know. I didn't think that far in advance.
I mean, a dyke and how you phrase it.
Okay. Right. So again, let's just understand the shakla v'tari, the kash and the teretz of the grach. He's saying that the grach was perplexed. How could the Rambam possibly say that mariku shtif is meaningful for kli cheres when we have a principle of eini yotzei midei daf yol yom? And the answer is to Heter Bola. That the Rambam is discussing a case where he didn't take dosar and cook it in a pot. He brought the chatas into a pot when it was still within its time allotment, you know, the day and the night for Achila. That's called Heter Bola. And if we add this into the equation, so we now have three indications that the Rambam holds Heter Bola. Number one, the Rambam has in Sakinim in Chometz. He says that Hagol is sufficient. What happened to Shipudim and Libud? Where did Libud go down the tubes? The second proof was from the fact that the Rambam classifies Chometz as a Dor Sheishlo Matirin. And finally, we have the Rambam by Kli Cheres, that the Rambam says that Kli Cheres is subject to Hagola, with the one exception of Chatos. And how could that Hagola work when any Yotzim they don't feel Yola? And the answer has to be Hetera Bola. Now let's just begin to understand this Hetera Bola. It's very nice and dandy Hetera Bola, but how does that impact on the reality of a Kli Cheres? Meaning, you're going to now take the Kli Cheres, you're going to put it into hot water. But what's going to happen as a result? So you can tell me, well, Hetera Bola. Yeah, that's very nice, but now I have no sar, and it's balua in the walls of the kli, and the Torah yidal kli cheres and yotzei deidofyo. So you can have hagola hin hagola hair, and you can talk about Hetera Bola, but reality is going to jump out against you. You're not getting the bliya out of the kli,
and you're taking the Torah either as a scientific edus, not the Torah asra. The Torah is telling you it's there.
Right, there's always going to be bliya. It's so porous that you can't get rid of that bliya. So that's, I think he's asking this question. Let's see. The Gemara says that Torah. Where do you see in the parasha of Shvira that the Torah is saying you can't get rid of the Bliya? Now, that's not really true. According to the Rambam, you could get rid of the Bliya. All right, the Rambam says that even Klichatos Meikra Din, if not for the mitzvah of Shvira, you'd be able to subject the Kli to Hagolah, and Hagolah would get rid of the Bliya, and therefore be Matir the Isur. And the only thing is that the Torah requires Shvira. So the Torah completely, you know, with regard to Kli, to Achatos, the Torah completely undermined the entire mechanism of Hechsher Kalim, of Hagolah, and the like. But as far as the Kli Cheres is concerned, the Rambam has Hagolah with all Kli Cheres for all Kachim, with the exception of Chatos. So what does it mean? Any Yotzim they know for Yol? I mean, the truth is, the Rav is asking it a little bit differently than the way we asked it. You know, he's saying the following: that how do we know that Kli Cheres and Yotzim they know for Yolam? You can't prove it from the case of Chatos, because there, according to the Rambam, is the seven mitzvah and Chatos of Shmira. But it doesn't mean that we couldn't get rid of the Bliya. I'm saying it a little differently. I'm saying the very fact that the Rambam validates Hagolah with regard to a Kli Cheres, how could that be? I mean, any Yotzim they don't feel Yolam. So we're not sure how this principle of Hetei Rebola, we're not sure how it operates. The Rav Salvation is not questioning. He's not questioning the premise that, according to the Rambam, Hagolah is meaningful, even in a Kli Cheres. I mean, that's explicit in the Rambam. He's not denying that the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim that Kli Cheres and Yotzim they don't feel Yolam. So the question now is how to reconcile those two. If any Yotzim they don't feel Yolam, how does the Rambam validate Hagolah in a Kli Cheres? Well, of what significance or meaning is the Hagolah going to have if the Bli is not Yotzeh, because of the nature of a Kli Cheres?
So Artscroll cites two translations of the word Dafyo, either absorption.
Dafyo means Easter, I think, doesn't it?
No, there's one of them that doesn't go out from its.
Well, what did you say Dafyo means?
Either contaminated state.
Contaminated means
or
Easter.
Or Easter. No, but it's.
No?
I saw two translations. When I
look at it.
Okay.
Alright. I don't know what he means by tumor here. I mean, we're not necessarily.
No, I meant
but I think he means Isur. I don't know, but
okay.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah. Okay. So we're up now to the paragraph Vanira. He wants to say the following. He says that there's a concept called Tam Kolush. Kuf Lamed Vav Shin. Which literally means a weak tam, kalush. But again, this concept of a tam kalush is a halachic concept. It's not just a reality. You know,
that's
it's
in the Dharma. You have a miklash kalush, right?
Right. Miklash kalush would mean, as opposed to make his guys,
that it weakens the whole thing. It makes it weak.
Oh, it means that we need both the father and the aris.
Right.
Because what was the other possibility was Megas Gaius and Megas. I have to remember the Nafkamina now between Megas Gaius. You remember the Nafkamina? Okay, we have to
let go.
Yeah, Nara Murasa. Well, what's the parak called? The seventh parak. Yeah, Nara Murasa.
Tenth, right?
I think it's the tenth parak. Yeah. So he says the following: Im al yidei hagolah hayotze kol atam. The Rambam's understanding was that in the case of Kli Cheres, we're in this kind of twilight zone. You know, we're in between two extremes. It's not that the hagolah is meaningless, because then how could the Rambam validate hagolah in Kli Cheres in everything but Chatos? But on the other hand, we don't remove the Easter entirely. Why did the Rambam? How did the Rambam come to that conclusion? Not based on any Yotzim Deidofyo, but based on the fact that the Torah requires Shvira in the case of Kli Cheres. What do you mean Shvira? Well, what are you breaking? Like you said before, if he took the Kli Cheres after he was Mevashal Achatos, and then he put it into the hot water, and the Hagolah took out the Bliya, so why are you breaking the Kli? Well, we're breaking a Kli. Oh, I'll tell you why you're breaking the Kli. Because it has a Bli of Chatos. It has of Nosar, right? It doesn't have a Bli of Nosar, because the Hagolah removed all the time. So he says the following: Yesh mitzvah. This is like, you remember the Rav was saying that you can't talk about Kiddush Hashem unless you did an avera. So if you're going to say that an ones is mafkir the avera, then there wouldn't be any Kiddush Hashem. Remember that. Whereas Rav Chaim understood it differently, that there's a separate entity called Kiddush Hashem. So he says the following. He says, in Yesh Mitzvah Shvira, in the case of Chatos and a Kli Cheres, Muchach Sheyesh Ezu Shutam Chatos. Now, you can't call it a Kli Chatos with Nosar if the Nosar is gone, if the Hagolah successfully removed all the Bliya. Elad Bemes, Demad Mahani Mariku Shtifa Beshar Kodshiv. From the very fact that Mariku Shtifa is meaningful in all Kodshiv. So again, we're saying that there's still time even after the Hagola, Haraya, that in the case of Chatos you have to destroy the Kli. On the other hand, we're saying that in the case of all other Kalim, other than Kli Cheres, there is a Takana. I'm sorry, let me say that again. In the case of all other Karbonos, other than Chatos, even in a Kli Cheres, there is a Takana of Hagola, which means that you are removing the tav. So on the one hand, you're saying in the case of Kli, everything is Kli Cheres. I don't have to repeat myself, right? In the case of Chatos, we're saying you have to break the Kli. Obviously, your Hagola did not do a good job. Because if it did an adequate job, there's no Bliya here, and hence, it would not be a Kli Nosar. On the other hand, you're telling me that in all other Kodshim, with the exception of Chatos, you can subject the Kli, even though it's a Kli Cheres, to Hagola. So that must mean that you're removing the tam. Ubal kachach tzarich lomar, in order to reconcile this contradiction, the kli cheres yesh bahem tam kolosh, meaning even after Hagola, what you're left with when it says any yotzim de dofyo is a tam kolosh. Oh, so now we have to ask ourselves what happens with this tam kolosh. It all depends upon what the nature of the tam was at the time of the bliya. Meaning, if it was a tam isur, and you did not successfully remove the tam isur, you're left with still epes gebelibid, right? This is shirayim here of the tam isur. In such a case, how could agdol be meaningful? So the answer has to be heterobola. Oh, so what's the yesod of Hetera Bola? He's saying that in Hetera Bola, the Bliya is not awesome. Now you want to make it into awesome, right? You want to change the status of the Bliya from Heter to Iser with the passage of time, right? So now you pass the Latin of time, becomes Nosa. Oh, so here the halacha is that a Tam Kolush is not powerful enough to become osur. The lo mahani ach tam kolish le mechal be din isur. So let's go back to the paragraph of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says that the Rambam Shita said mitzvahs mariku shtifa is kodim shenasa nosar. So let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says the lo chatas vilvadal kol hakeim shishtam shem ben kodshim vaydei chamim ben kodshim kodshim Ben Kachim Kalim to Unimariku Shtifa. I'm exactly sure here. Let me just read this one more time, and if you can fill me in on this, that would be great. The Rambam writes the following: Harei Rambam Sovar the Mitzvahs Mariku Shtifa Hu Kodim Zman Shenaseh Nosar. I think we're missing some part of the Rambam here. Lo Chatos V'Lagalim. Do you have access to Hilchos Maaseh Karbonos? Forget it. I think there's just one line in the Rambam that for some reason he omitted here. Well, let's see, I don't know, maybe you're right. I mean, but what he's saying, yeah, well, I think what you mean by Metzias is what he calls a Tam Kolosh. Is that what you mean?
I'm saying it's actual noise, but when you're talking about there's just tam boile in the kli, it's not mamish noise. It's a remnant tam.
It's not the original
tam. I'm never the ear there, so I wouldn't.
Right, but you have to know about the tam pika. Right. But again, just to get the structure of what he's saying is that you nip it in the bud before it becomes nosa. Why? Because it's a terabola, meaning at this point in time, it's a terabola. Now, how do you nip it in the bud? And after all, in the case of a kli cheres and a yotzim, they dafi leolim, so even after agdola, it still has a tam bolua. So the answer is that the mariku shtifa, meaning the agdola, is meaningful enough to make it into a tam kolosh. And now what he's saying is that a tam kolosh can never become awesome. The Torah says that nosar can become nosar if you have the original be'en. But if you only have a tam kolosh,
is this tam kolosh just a chiddush by nosar? Is it?
Well, we're going to apply it out of chametz. That's what we want to get.
Yeah, but the
two lats.
The lo b'chatas lo kolokeshes in two rikas shtifa. Just 1 second. Eitev. Well, there are a lot of parts of this Rambam that are covered. Bishul behen achar shenizak domon, bishul kodem zrika, or shebishul basa b'chatos anech ainu tam rikushti. Bicher shenizbash mo chatos ton shvira, fine. Rika v'chamer u'shtif v'bitzone lo v'mayim v'med v'amur v'shabishu v'hem achar shem nizrak domon v'intom v'shizish
bothering
you? Yeah, no, I think he's saying that the Mariku Shtifa took place before it was Nosa.
Yes, definitely.
But I'm looking for those words in the Rambam. I think maybe he means these words in the Rambam. He says, Bebekli Matechas, Bebekli Cheres, Umemarek Vishotev Ad Sof Achilo. I think he means Ad Sof Zman Achilo, if I'm not mistaken.
Once it's nice, yeah, Mariku Shtifa doesn't work, yeah. Yes, that's wrong.
Yeah, I didn't see that in the Rambam.
Oh, I
was trying to figure it out.
He doesn't quote.
I didn't think he quoted that part of the Rambam.
Right.
So again, you'll take a look. Hold on.
No. You're right.
That's what was bothering me. I didn't. You know, there was an assumption here. He says Kiri Isa Shamba Rama. That's in the paragraph Biubir. Yes. Where's Kiri Isa Shamba Rama? So I think maybe he means that last line in the Rambam. Okay. Avol b'chatos yesh mitzvah shvira. Now, why is there a mitzvah of shvira in the case of chatos? If the process of mariku shtif is successfully and effective in removing the tam, so then you're going to tell me to destroy the kli after I remove the tam? It doesn't make any sense. But the answer is there's a tam kolosh. And here's where the gzeres hakosav of chatos comes to the fore, according to the shittas of Rambam, that b'chatos yesh mitzvah shvira b'gzeres hakosav gamal tal kolosh. The gamal yidei tam zeh chashuv adayin kiklish and esbasha bochatos. Wow.
And I have to be shoivered to get rid of the noiser.
No.
It's not a mitzvah, well, tashbisu.
Yeah, I don't know if you call it tashbisu, but he's saying the following. That the Torah says that a kli chatos and esbasha bo chatos requires shvira, correct? Now you're asking me, what do you mean the kasha? I already put it into hot water. I removed all the blia. So you tell me there's a tam kolosh. Says Rav Salavitcher, the tam kolosh is sufficient to retain the status of the kli as a kli shenis bashal lo chatos. Meaning, if you would have removed all the blia totally, and if there was no principle of hatorah heidal kli chereshen yotzvi deydof yoliolam, then if there was no such edus and you could remove all the blia, 100% of the blia, then it's no longer, you can't call it a kli shenis bashal lo chatos. I mean, that's history. It's no longer relevant today because I don't see in this kli any vestige of chatos. Oh, so how can the Torah command me in the mitzvah of Shvira in the case of Kli, of a Kli Cheres Shenis Bashavol Chatos? The answer is, I still can classify it and define it as a Kli Cheres Shenis Bashavol Chatos because of the Tam Kol. And that's called HaTorah Eida Al Kli Cheres Sheni Yotzin Deidom. In Kei Mavur, let me just see if we can summarize the whole prayer. He says, Mavur, this is I think the summary, Masha Hochichu B'Gemara the Kli Cheres Sheni Yotzin Deidom Filiolam. How did Gemara invoke the mitzvah of Shvira to prove that a Kli Cheres is any Yotzim Deidofyo? The answer is because if it was Yotzim Deidofyo through Marikan Shtifa, there would be no mitzvah, it would be meaningless to have a mitzvah of Shvira because it's a brand new Kli. I mean, whatever was used in the past is completely history, it's completely gone. There's no vestige of the original Bishul of a Chatos. The answer has to be that Kli Cheres and Yotzim Deidofyo love that even after all your Marikan Shtifa, what you're left with is a Tam Kolosh. The tam kolishal isuli ola via ispe. There's some sort of weak tam of isur. That tam of isur could never become asur, but it could continue the original status of the kli as a kli shenis bashel bo chatos. The nafkamina gam ledi. Okay, fine. Now he's gonna make a nafkamina ledi dan. But basically, the nafkamina is gonna be that the Torah could command us in the case of a kli cheres shenis bashel bo chatos, that we have a mitzvah of Shmira. And the mitzvah of Shmira is only meaningful if I assume that there's some Tam Kolosh left in the walls of the Kli. Mashenkin in Shar Kodshim, which are not Chatos, even in the case of Kli Cheres, the Agol is going to be meaningful as long as you nip it in the bud and you do the Agol before it becomes Nosar. And if you're doing so before it becomes Nosar, then we're going to say that it becomes the Hagolah makes it into a Tam Kolosh, and a Tam Kolosh is still Heter. And a Tam Kolosh of Heter cannot become Osir. So when the moment comes that it should have been Nosar, you know, at the end of the night, that at that point, it cannot become Nosar. And the reason for that is because all you're left with is a Tam Kolosh. A Tam Kolosh cannot become Nosar. You're good.
Okay, I was hung up with something which made me shtusim, okay? And that is, I cooked chatas and something. Then it's past the time. Do I have to destroy the keli because of nosar, or only because if I want to use it? Now, is there a mitzvah?
Yes, separate mitzvah shvira. The Torah requires shvira. But, and not only that,
is it because of the isser nosar? Then the isser shvira is just a way of getting rid of the nosar, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that because, you
know, for instance, when it tells
you get rid of Nosar, it means that you're allowed to use the Kli after you get rid of Nosar. That doesn't apply in the case of a Kli.
No, but is this called getting rid of the Nosar? And if I don't want to, in other words, breaking the Kli, for instance, Kalim that you buy from Goyim is supposed to break. You're supposed to break if you want to use it. If you bought from Goyim and want to leave it on your window to look nice, you don't have to break it. Here, there's a mitzvah of breaking.
Right.
I assume in order to get rid of it, right?
I'm not sure what you mean by get rid of it. In other words, when you use the terminology.
I don't want to use the keli.
When I say get rid of it, what I usually mean by that is get rid of the blia. Right?
No. Yeah, right. Get rid of the blia because the blia is nice, so I'm not allowed to have it.
Because the blia, I don't know.
Or is there a mitzvah to destroy something for kicks? What do I have to destroy a keli for? What do you ever find it? Every dessert you have to destroy.
Right.
I have to destroy a keli?
Right. You have to destroy a keli because I use that keli to be mevashel chatos, and that gives it the status of a chli shebishel chatos, which requires shvira.
I'm allowed to leave chatos. Chatos allowed to exist.
So I think the answer to your question would be found in a book by the Rambam, but not the book that we're studying.
Okay.
You know, that would be more for Mor Nevuchim.
I understand you. Okay.
Ulefizeh nimzadil a Rambam b'kli chelev o basar yoel hagola af b'kli cheres.
Chol.
I'm sorry. I said chelev. Yeah, he wants to apply the principle of heterabola. What does heterabola mean? Right. Let's say, for example, I have a kli chalav, right? A milchika kli, and it's earthenware. Now, if I were to cook meat in that kli at this particular moment, then it would become basar b'chol. But instead of cooking meat, what I did was I took the Kli Cheres and I did Hagola on it. Once I did Hagola on it, then I convert the Tam into a Tam Kolosh. Now when I cook meat in the same pot, Now I want to generate a new Isur called Basma Chala. Well, guess what? Since it's a Tam Kolish cannot become Asur. Is Af Be Kli Cheres Kevin Davi Yateru Bola. The Ayin B'Shut Rabbi Ayin B'Shut Rabbi Kiveger Shehevi Hasvar Di Yoel Agol Be Kli Cheres Yateru Bola V'Doch Hasvar Zu Shere Kederos Be Pesli Shavru V'Lo Moil Gabon Hagola Af De Lahar Be Rishonim Chometz Choshev Hetera Bola. Just 1 second. This seems to be a bomb kasha here from Kivega. Just 1 second. What are we talking about now? We're talking about Chometz Tika Kalim, and we're talking about a Kli Cheres. So the question is, why can't you just subject them to Hagol according to the Ramah, and then apply the same principle of what? That Isur cannot be Chal on a Tam Kolush. Second, I just say we have Svar the Yola Golub, the Dachel Svar Zush, or Kadeus Persi Shavru. So why is Kadeus the Pesli Shavru? I mean, what is he saying here? After, oh, I see. Let's assume that the Rambam holds Hetera Bola. So then the whole concept of Kederes Pesach Yishavru makes no sense. Why? Because if you subject the Kli to Agola, even though it's a Kli Cheres, you will reduce, you will downgrade the Tam into a Tam Kolosh. And then Bivoa Pesach, it shouldn't become awesome. So why is Kederes Pesach Yishavru? So I have Kli Cheres, which is what? Which is Chametz Tik. And the Gemara says I have to destroy it. Correct? I have to destroy it. Why do I have to destroy it? Why not just subject it to Hagola? So you can tell me about any Yotzev Deidof Yelior. But the Rambam holds that Chometz is a Terebola, and therefore the Hagola will reduce it, downgrade it to the level of what? Of Tam Kolosh. And the Tam Kolosh can't be easy, can't become awesome. That's Rabbi Kivega's Kash. Utmiya Zu, he. Tmiya Kayemes Al Masha Kasavnu de la Ram of Yesh Hagola Bikli Cheres Neteru Bola Adim Kek Tzorchim Lama Kederes Yishavru Eva de la Ram of Chometz Kodim Ma Pesach Avi Neteru Bola. Okay, so now the question is, why is Kederes Ma Pesach Yishavru? I think basically what the Ari Keter is trying to do is he's trying to show you that from Rabbi Kivega's question, you derive that he understood it the way we understood it. That if you subject the Kli Cheres to Hagola, and if you assume Hetera Bola, then a Tam Kolosh would never become awesome. So why is Kederes Professor Yishavru? Yasha Nir Lefar was that Behekti Mada Hocha Gabi Kli Chometz Kosov Ram the Achra. Oh, okay, now we come back to a major topic. The Rambam says that after you subject a Kli Chometz to Hagola, then you need Shotaf Osan Bitsone. You rinse off the Kli with cold water. Does that make any sense? And according to the Magen Mishnah, goes, the source for this is the din of Marika Ushtifa B'Kodshin. The Marika B'Shchamin Ushtifa B'Tzonin. Ah, we have two parts. So we have Marika, which is what we've been discussing until now, that's Hagola. And now we have Shtifa, which literally translates as rinsing it off, right? Has your wife sent you, like my wife, for the job of taking your car for a car wash? So that's called shtifas hamachodit, right?
Isn't the marika by actual kachem, the actual emerum?
Well, there's something in wachatos also that you have to remove the feathers. Is that what you're talking about?
I just know the term.
Marika. Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about marika.
Okay.
Marika meaning putting it into hot water to get rid of the belia. And then there's something called shtifa. And the Gemara in Tzvachim says you need shtifa b'tzonin. What is that all about? You know, like, for example, I, you know, my job in the army for 25 years, I don't know how many years, was every Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, they would send us to there. We went through the whole state of Israel in order to do Hechsher Kelim for the army. So what do? After, as soon as we take the clay out of the thing, you know, we dip it in the hot water, we immediately rinse it off. You know, we had somebody who held the hose, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, what's that all about when you think about it? So a child will tell you, you don't want to burn your hand.
Right.
But that's not what the Torah is talking about. And it's halach and kachim, and now it's halach and kli chametz. That if you have a kli chametz and you do marika and you subject it to hagola, we need to wash it off bitzonein afterwards. And let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says,
if it's bechamin, it would get belay again.
Well, no, I mean, we're assuming that it's already bottled the shishim. You know, that's so he says the
following. My mom insisted when she washed.
The Rambam says, v'yakach shotef oso bitzonein. That's why he stated Rambam. So the Rav is going to see something very big in this whole thing of shtifa bitzone.
When my mom washed dishes, she insisted if you don't rinse it with cold water afterwards, it's not clean.
Maybe she's a big lamdan and she knows the mitzvah.
I think she was about less. I don't think
right.
She's a lamdan at all.
Right. No, I'm just saying. Maybe she, you know, she was brought up in the atmosphere of shtifa bitzone. Okay. You know, it's halacha, za halacha. So in any event, right, it's derived from the Gemara in Tzvachim. The Gemara says that that you need shtifa mitzonein and tzarech iud. The v'perek yitzayim milchus machol suk v'abir aram of din agol skin lo hitzrich aram. Guess what? You have a kli that was used with nevela. You cook nevela in a pot. The Rambam says it needs agol. Perek yitzayim milchus machol suk. The Rambam doesn't whisper a word about Marika, about Shtifa Bitzonen. Why is it that we have Shtifa Bitzonen in two cases, in two areas? Number one, in a Kli Kodshim, and number two, in a Chametz B'Pesach. From a Vur Bazel, now he's dropping the bomb. And to best of my knowledge, no one else thought of this idea. The Shiny Din Hechshek Kelim Gavi Pesach Midrabbanan. Okay, so we have to get back to this word midrabbanan, because in the case of kodshim, we're going to talk about a doraisa, but in chametz we're going to apply it on a drabbanan level. It's almost as if chametz becomes like a midrabbanan, at least a mirror image of kodshim. We did actually kelim b'shar isurei Torah. In other words, this case of chametz is radically different than all Isuri Torah. Dilgavi Pesach Bilvad. Bilvad din Hagola lahaflid or Isur. And so the whole mechanics of Hagola for all Isuri Torah, with the exception of Chametz, is simply to remove the Isur. But in Chametz, it's din misuyam de Hagola avi machshir umatir akli lishtamshus bepesach. Wow, this is wild. You know, it's basically what we're saying is that at least midrabbanan, you're not allowed to use a chametz stick of kli on Pesach. Period. Forget it. It's not shy. And what you need is that since there's an Isur to use a chametz stick of kli on Pesach, you need a matir. And what's that matir going to be? So it works on two levels. Number one, you're matir by subjecting the kli to Hagola, and in that sense you remove the blia from the kli. But it still retains its status as a shame kli chametz, and now we have to change the status of the kli.
It doesn't mean that you can't use it as a hammer, I don't.
Okay, that's good. That's a good point. Right. I don't think he means you can't use it.
It's not going to be very neat, but it'll be kind of wide.
Right, right. No, he's not talking about using it as a hammer.
You can't use it for cooking.
Right, you're right. The word ishtabshus is a little bit too broad, too general. Oh, the Pesach etzem shema kli ki kli chametz. It is a new halakhic category called a kli chametz. It's a chaloshem in the kli, a kli chametz. Oser v'shtamshus, and now we need a matir. Ubilvad, in other words, super above and beyond the hagala, which is sufficient to remove the blia. Yesh od din nosaf, that we have to be matir the kli because it's a kli chametz. And the only way of being matter the kli is if we remove the shame kli chametz. We have no such parallel. There's nothing parallel to that in Shari Surim. In Shari Surim, the entire din of Hagola begins and exhausts itself with the reality of pleitas ha-bliya, get rid of the bliya for the isur. So the Rambam would not require shtifa v'tzonen in Hilchas Machos Asuris in the Veil. You won't find it there. But in the case where there's a separate isur called ishtamshus b'kli chametz, there we have to remove that isur ishtamshus. And we need a, if you pardon the term, a ritual action that's going to be matir that Isur Shtamshus. Now, the Rambam holds that in Hechshir Kalim for Chametz, we're going to derive Mariku Shtifa, we're going to derive from Mariku Shtifa Bekodshim. Again, on a Drabbanan level. The Sham, Gabi Mariku Shtifa, Milvara Din Hagola Lahaflid or Isur, Yeshmem Chalos Hechshir. Hachal al yidei etzem akli. So again, what we're saying is that you need some sort of a machshir, he calls it, because of the shem akli. So again, you had stage number one, hagol, you remove the bliya, and in all Yisurim that would have been sufficient. But here, that's not enough because the kli still has the status of a shem isa, of a shem kli chametz. To remove that, here we need shtifa. And where do we find a precedent for such a thing? In Kodshim. Why? Because in Kodshim, there's a separate halacha that the Kodshim need marika b'tzonei, even after you makshir them. Why? Because it has a shem kli tzonei. Sherei le'inya mariku shtifa b'kodshim iboilu gemara dafilu ibishel below bliya. Oh, I don't remember the details now. Do you remember the details in Zvachim of what's called Bishul below Bliya? What's Bishul? I forgot exactly now what the case was. Anyway, there's some case called Bishul below Bliya. Bishul below Bliya. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth if there's a din of Mariku Shtifa in such a case. Now, if there's no Bliya, you certainly don't require Hagola. But yet the Gemara wants to say that maybe you require Mariku Shtifa. Muchach, the Mariku Shtifa v'kiyum v'din b'kodshim. You know, regardless of whether it's blue or not. That's a mind-boggling concept. To require some sort of a process of Hesher Kalim when there's no blue at all. The answer is because it was used for kodshim. Once it was used for kodshim, it has a din of a kli kodshim, kli kodesh. Now you have to remove that status. And in order to do so, you need not only Marika to remove the tam, but you also need Shtifa. V'hein omnom de gabi kodshim Mariku Shtifa v'kiyum mitzvah v'komkom gabi hetshikeu l'pesach havidina nemer beheter akli bilvad. So Rabosai, let me ask you the following question. Are you familiar with the machlokas v'arov tashmisha? Let's say, for example, you have a sakin. Now, let's say most of the use of the sakin would be beroskin b'kli rishon. But occasionally I use the sakin for cutting hot chametz, right? You know, you have a knife that you use for the challahs on Shabbos. But let's say your challahs are coming right out of the oven, you know, right out of the blech or wherever you put it, and it's boiling hot. So the poskim say that it's enough to subject the kli to hagola. Now wait a second. I don't get it. If on one occasion I used it to cut hot challah, then I need livud. In other words, kibolo kapolto, but it was bolea now straight through b'yesh. Kol asher b'yesh tavir b'yesh v'toyer. You know, you need a livud. So how does the word halach of rov operate? The answer is that this the din of shame kli chametz operates primarily on one level to say that if you have a kli chametz, you need a machshir and a matir called shtifa b'tzone, similarly to what we saw to be mafkir the shem kli kodshim, you needed marika Bechamin and Shtifa Bitzonin. But now I'm adding another point to it. And I'm saying is that there's another din of shame Kli Chametz. There's a shame Kli Chametz of Kli Rishon, meaning of Roslim Al Gabi Aish, which means Hagola. And then there's another shame Kli Chametz, for Libun. And we have to remove that shame. Now, how to remove that shame? So here the poskim say it depends on Rov Tashmisho. If Rov Tashmisho is Beroschin, then all you need is Hagola Beroschin. Because again, you're going to remove the shame Chametz. I have Blia, right? You still have Blia from the fact that once in history you used it without a medium of water, directly to cut the Chametz. And the Chametz was burning hot. Is the answer is that there's Halacha of Machshir, there's Halacha of being Matir the Isra. And by Matir the Isra, I remove the shame Chametz. That's what I'm thinking.
Even though in Metzias, there could still be Tam in there.
Yeah, there has to be Tam in there, because in Kibbolah Kapolto, so what good is Hagola for that one time that I used it directly with Chametz, with hot boiling Chametz?
I have two, okay.
But that's some matir. You know, if you don't introduce the halacha of matir, I think you're in trouble.
I have two questions. But one is a real one, one is a stupid one. Why does Hagala not count as shtifa? Is there something attractive about cold water to take off the shame? I rinsed it in boiling water already. I'm going to put cold water on. It's like
I'll tell you why. Because you have to separate between Hafkas Blia, which is Plato,
and Amati. Afterwards.
Yes, I think definitely it's going to have to be in that sequence, right? So you have two different actions. Each one is halakhically required, but they're each halakhically operating in a different way.
Am I allowed to do it with boiling water also in stomach?
Possibly, but that's not the way it's done in Kachim. But
the logic is with hot water, it could be bone there again.
Once you do Hagala, it's bottle.
Right. You have to work with Bittel.
Like
there's a big problem if you have a large Kli. How are you going to be Magula? Because how are you going to get Shishim in the water? And I need the so there is a principle called I need the Torah the Liflo Globali, but still if you leave it in there for more than a second, then it's already gonna be Bolea again. But the answer is it's not being Bolea Tam Isa because it already was bought up.
And my practical question is, all of this stuff of Hagala and whatever, isn't this stuff called Tam of Gam after 24 hours?
Right. So the question is, what's the deal with chametz as far as Tam Lev Gam is concerned?
Or any time.
Right.
All kashrim is just done, even though it's Tam Lev Gam, we still do it.
Correct. In chametz.
No. Chametz. In treif, right?
Oh, treif.
I don't have the kashrim pot after 24 hours from milk to meat.
Well, that's,
or treif stuff.
Well, that's probably what we call that's exeris chachamim that maybe. If we allow you to lechatchila, and it also has to do with the principle of aim of atlanisa lechatchila. Because what are you doing?
No, but it's already time of gam, it's not an issue. Right?
So you have to say it's a gzera, because if we allow you today to wait a day and make it into tampogum, tomorrow you're going to be mashrikli.
And by chametz you say there's an extra issue even by time of gam, because nightshah they don't want you to eat even though it's nightshah.
No, it's sort of like the case of Masher, right? So we said according to Rav, even if a chametz gets mixed up in 60 times,
right? But Tam of Gam is already not chametz; it's nifsal me'achilas kelav. It's garbage, right? Tam of Gam is not.
So again, you have to know what Tam of Gam means. Is Tam of Gam a separate heter, or Tam of Gam means it's not a tam?
Maybe it's
still
already me'achilas kelav.
I was wondering. I thought they related. Maybe not. I thought it's part of the same business. No.
So again, the key phrase here, I think, in this chiddush is the Pesach etzem shem kli chametz zeu sha'oser tashmisha ulefi ze after Rav some of the chametz have a terabola mikol kam lo moil hagola gavi kli chametz shel cheres la'gilo mi'isur chametz the came of the yesh tam kolish b'kli the eno niflat legamri al yidei hagola. I mean, halal kli shame kli chametz by virtue of the tam kolush the osalish tamish ben bekli also kli bepesach zeh shalminah the gemara kederos bepesach yishavru. So we asked, well, why is kederos bepesach yishavru? According to the Rambam, the hagol is meaningful to remove the tam. The answer is which means that we're left with the tam kolush, and the tam kolush remain is enough to generate the or continue generating the shame kli chametz, and came liolam shame kli chametz olam. After the dini agola, even as far as bliya is concerned, the agola was effective to remove all the bliya. But it's not all the bliya, because what we're left with is a tam kolosh. That tam kolosh will never become asur, but it's enough to retain the status of the kli and its name, its identity, as a kli chametz. Is linyan pesach avidin mesuyim the English tamish bekli shechal of shame kli chametz. When we can, gam hayisod lahod kli chametz bepesach teunim shtifa. Oh, so he's saying two things. Number one, we understand why the halakh of ena yotz v'dei dofi liolam is meaningful, even though the Rambam holds that our goal is still meaningful to remove the tam. The answer is still retains its shame chametz because of the tam kolosh. And number two, we begin to understand the entire enterprise of shtifa betzone, which l'chore makes no sense whatsoever. The l'fisha agol of the Pesach, we have to accomplish two goals. Number one is l'haflit es ha'isur, but then you also have to be ma'atirish tamshus. Is tzarekam shtifa, just like in kodshim. U'kirechazina and mimad kli cheres di'ein tam yotzim ideidofi li'olam osu l'shtamish b'Pesach, even if we're subjected to hagol, and the Rambam holds that hagol is effective to remove the tam. Now I'm just taking a look to see if by any chance in this essay he talks about my business with Rove Tashmisho and Miu Tashmisho. I'm just skimming this with my eyes. We're going to probably have Minchas soon, but what does he have here? Okay, he's just going to say this is Chadosh. That's Chadosh. Okay, right now I'm not finding it. I was hoping that, because I thought that would be the next natural step to what the Rav is saying over here. Oh, by the way, he does talk to him about Tam Lefgam. That's here on page Ayin Ches, the paragraph that starts Behine. I don't know if you got that far in here. Oh, so you take a look over there. He talks about Nat Bar Nat. The next piece is Eimavat Len Isul Chatchila. Now, what I would like to talk to you about tomorrow, because I'm leaving tomorrow night, but there's a section here called Manishtana. Now, I spoke about Manishtana on Shabbos HaGadol. I don't know if you remember that. Not everyone was there. So we spoke about Manishtana. But he's got a velt here on the Manishtana, on the different nuschos and the different kinds of questions and different minhagim. And frankly, I found this quite interesting. After his section on Manishtana, he has Maskil Begnus and Messiah Mishvach. And again, he goes on and on. So I don't know, does this interest you? First of all, can you make it tomorrow? You know, the women folk are getting, you know, they're getting very demanding these days. What?
Getting unpredictable.
So look, I'll believe that to be here. If you're here, you're here. If you're not here, you're not here.
We have a choice.
John, I think, will be here tomorrow. He couldn't make it today.
If you want to learn Emvat Ma'isakat Chila,
that looks interesting.
Much more. I'm excited because this I can do myself.
Right, but I like to make Ha'oris as I go along.
No, I understand, but
you know, I like to embellish it in my own way.
I can't get to first base here. You know?
Right. Okay. All right, so B'li Neder, we'll try to do a Mevat L'Nisim L'Chatchila, but send me, if you can, a one-liner that you'll be there, so I don't... okay, then?
As Rob knows, I'm unpredictable.
Right.